Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you today. Let's see. How are you doing? Bridge MCP says, is the music going fast then slower? Fast then slower? I don't know. I'm hearing it okay here. Let me know if you see it going fast and slow, fast and slow. Hi, Rose Williams. I don't think I've seen you in a couple days, Rose. Where have you been? AVQ is in the house. AVQ says, I'm having internet problems. Meantime, I'll be watching from Twitch. AVQ, you listen everywhere. You listen Twitch. You listen YouTube. You listen Twitter. You listen Facebook. I think you've been on a hiatus from Facebook for a while. But anyhow, how are my peeps doing today? I know my peeps are doing just fine. Let's see who else we got here. Paul Fleming says, ATL checking in from Atlanta. ¿Cómo estás, Paul? And of course, we have the one and only Nanette Bird Smith. Nanette, how you doing, girl? I know I've all's right. Folks, we've been playing around with drivers and all of that. Tell me how the video, tell me how the audio, all that good stuff is working for you. Anyhow, let's start with our researcher. Miguel Rodnin dice, okay, if Daniel Ledo says every show is great, none of them are. That's a thought. Bruce Pollard says, Facebook looks good, share it now. Please, folks, share right away. If you're on YouTube, give us that thumbs up. Give us that thumbs up. Nanette Birdsmith says, all is good here. Daniel Ledo starts his negativity early, but you know what? It empowers us all. You know what? When we become the most empowered, when we can look at the negative vibes and turn it into positivity, like saying, Tom C., welcome aboard. NSYNC, okay. Sad day in Michigan after mass shooting at Oxford High School. Sad day, sir. You're absolutely right. Peggy Lopez says, hi, all. You're looking good from my view. Thank you, my dear, beautiful lady. Now, look. Well, let's go ahead and start with Michael Rodnin. Because Norman Reynolds. Uno, dos. ¿Estás listo, hermano? Esto es lo que estoy viendo. All right. That's good. All right. Michael Rodnin says, dark money group Freedom Works paid former Trump AG to ask for pardons, and he never registered as a lobbyist. Former acting attorney general Matthew Whitaker left the Trump administration and almost immediately started asking for presidential pardon without regarding as registering as a lobbyist. Blatant corruption gone unpunished. From the article, the group bought Matthew Whitaker on in March 2020 to head up its new American Freedom Initiative, which FreedomWorks claimed aims to recommend deserving individuals to the Trump administration for pardons and commutations. A previously unreported federal filing from Freedom Works, which does not have to disclose a donor, shows that the organization paid Whitaker $400,000 last year in unspecified consulting fees. That role raises a number of ethical questions for Whitaker. He was directly involved in White House current clemency negotiations, possibly as late as Trump's last full day in office, but never registered as a lobbyist. Freedom Works never named clemency issued in any of the 2020 lobbying reports. Paul S. Rand, vice president of Government Watchdog Common Cause, said other lobbyists tied to Trump have reported massive income lobbying the administration for pardons. Any failure by Whitaker to disclose hundreds of thousands of dollars received to lobbying the Trump administration warrants close scrutiny. Now it should be thrown in jail. Stackler family, second item. Stackler family have abused bankruptcy process, Purdue former judge says. The Sacklers embezzled $10 billion from their corporation so that when bankruptcy was declared, there would be less to lose. They basically stole $10 billion from those who have suffered because of them. I don't know how this isn't being treated as a major crime. From the article, near the end of the lengthy hearing on the appeal of Purdue's opioid settlement, U.S. District Judge Colleen McCann said she is considering sending the deal back to bankruptcy court for additional findings on whether the members of the Sackler family took advantage of the bankruptcy process by removing more than $10 billion from the Purdue between 2008 and 2018. The withdrawals left Purdue with less money to fight the opioid lawsuit that drove it into insolvency. Listen, folks. That's what this system is all about. Understand capitalism. The capital, those with capital rule the system. And they can move it around as they see fit. That is what they do. That is the system. The only way to change a system to a free enterprise system is for us to empower ourselves, is for us to understand the rules. And notice what I just said. We've got to understand the rules, and then we have got to beat them. Come on, it's cursor. And we have got to beat them by their own rules. We have got to create the society that we're looking for. Folks, if you're watching on YouTube, give me that thumbs up. If you're watching on Facebook, give me that like. If you're watching on Twitch, give me that like. On Twitter and on podcast, whatever. Just throw us out there and share. Anyhow, so that's a good catch there with the Sackler family. I just wish we could do more. And the truth of the matter is we can do more by electing the right people who would be punitive with those who do what we see them do in. Last one from Miguel Rodnin says, severe COVID infection doubles chances of dying in the following year. Study finds research suggests serious bouts of illness with coronavirus may significantly damage long-term health. If this isn't reason enough to get vaccinated now, I don't know what is. They also buried the lead. Long COVID affects younger people, and the death toll is likely undercounted. From the article, the study found that patients who were very unwell with coronavirus had a significant greater chance of dying over the next year. Trend that was particularly notable among those aged 65, under 65. As these deaths frequently occurred along with the initial infection in the past, they may never have been linked to COVID-19 by the patient's family or doctors, but they would have, yes, died from COVID-19 because the deaths would not have occurred absent them getting COVID-19. You know, we have a lot to fix, and we have a lot of work to do in that regards. All right, Michael Rodnin, I read that one already. Let's see who else we need to bring into the fold. Daniel Lado brought our initial in negativity of the day. So you win the negativity award today, brother Lado. Still love you, and I mean that from the depths of my heart. Bruce Pollard, Facebook looks good. Thank you. Keep sharing, baby. Keep sharing, keep sharing. Nanette Bergsmith, all goods here. Tom C. is in Michigan. Peggy Lopez, Norman Reynolds with us again. Peggy Lopez says, today in 1955 in Montgomery, Alabama, Rosa Parks was jailed for refusing to give up her seat on a public bus to a white man, a violation of the city's racial segregation laws. Whatever happened to chivalry? I always wondered about that, you know? She didn't give her chair up to a man. You would think that the man in those days of patriarchy would have said, why would I want a woman to stand? Hey, what? Hey, Devon J. Hall is here with us. She is the protagonist of our interview today. So stick around. I love her spunk. I love her sense of direction. I love her positivity. Even with a lot of things in dire straits, I think she's inspiring. So stick around and listen to Devon when she gets started. Thank you for being here, Devon J. Hall. Peggy Lopez, a leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be. Rosalind Carter, we need to be a great leader. We each need to be a great leader. Eric Hayes, BBB making richer and 400K and under poorer. Eric, stop watching Fox News. It's making you dumb, my brother. And I say that with respect, kindly. May Wood, hey, everyone, and hello from Long Beach. May, welcome aboard. Going to try and get my third vaccine today. Whoop, whoop. Exactly. We want to keep all our folks alive. And Harry, go get your vaccine too. And Brother Lado, I hope you've gotten your vaccine as well. We want you around too, brother. Bridge MCP, our beautiful Bridge Rose, we got the booster same day, and I didn't attribute me being so tired to it, 4 days of it. It brought me down to my girl. It brought me down to. But anyhow, let's go ahead and get started with Sister Devon J. Hall, and then we'll continue with the program thereafter. So, what am I gonna say? Let's get busy. Welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show today. We, as you know, we bring folks from all over to be on our show. And I met this young woman at one of our meetups online, Woke. And the assertiveness with which she spoke, the encouragement with which she gave others to do writing is something that I thought it was transformative. And not only that, it actually helps those of us who are trying to make a change in America politically, that is during our, with our activism. But anyhow, without further ado, founder of Loudmouth Brown Girl and a member of EduCanation, Devon J. Hall. Welcome to Politics Done Right. How are you doing today?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Well, look, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you is, we hear guests on all these different online platforms, writers, et cetera, talking, and you are a writer. And what I enjoyed with what you had to bring is something that you told writers. You told them to be unabashedly be themselves. And I want to relate that towards our political climate. Why don't you tell me exactly what you meant by that?
In 1999, literally everybody in the world was listening to Prince's We're Gonna Party Like It's 1999. That song in that year was the biggest song in the history of time, right? And there's never gonna be another song that encapsulates so many decades because it was written years before 1999. And then something happened in 2000, politically, economically, sociologically. With our entire society, no matter where you are in the world, things shifted in monumental ways. Suddenly, LGBTQ were not being quiet anymore. Suddenly, AIDS was a conversation we were having. Suddenly, race was a conversation we were having again. Disability, sexism. We were talking about mental health. We were talking about PTSD. We were talking about war. We were having big conversations. And we weren't sitting in our homes having those big conversations with our families and our neighbors. We were doing it online, right? And so the 2000s have been a very weird decade. Like this, we just hit 2020 and we're entering into 2022. And things are like, all of a sudden, the kids that were kids in the 90s are adults, kind of like chickens with their heads cut off, going, what do we do? How do we do it? What do we do? We have all this access to all this information, which is bringing in light all of these emotions. Because every single thing that we see from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor to Ahmaud Arbery, all of these things are big, right? These are not little conversations. These are highly packed with emotions and highly packed with responses, 7 billion responses around the world. And so the only way to combat what we're seeing and to stay sane is to be honest and authentic about what we're saying that we see, right? You don't have to agree with somebody else's perception, but you have to be honest with what you are seeing and with how you convey what you are seeing. And you cannot do that if you are not your true self.
Now, henceforth, you became a writer or you are a writer. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of Loudmouth Brown Girl and what exactly is a loudmouth brown girl?
Well, you asked me not to say the F word, so I cannot give you the exact quote. But in 2017, I was arrested on an airplane for having a panic attack. And I was very scared to come home. As you heard in my talk on Sunday, I had been abused a lot, and my brain had kind of hidden those memories. And on the plane ride home, the trip had been so overtly awful. I was walking with a group of white people to a bar, and a white woman who lived in Winnipeg, where we were, stopped me. She put her hand up, she stopped me, and she looked at me and she went, "You're black." And I looked around at all my friends that I was at the conference with, and I said, "Did you guys know I was black?" And like we walked in and we joked about it, and they were all white people. I was just all white people. And we were joking about the fact, like, "Oh my God, you're black. Like, that's like, how did that happen?" But inside, I just kind of died a little bit because nobody had ever said that to me before. It wasn't what she had said, it was the way she had said it. Like, this white woman qualifying my blackness. Like, yes, I'm fully aware. I'm 36, I'm 35 years old, been black for a while. Like, why is it shocking to you to see me? And I was in a town where the very first church, St. John's Church, was built by a freed American slave. and his name is John. He crossed over through the Underground Railroad to the University of New Brunswick, and he built a church to say thank you to the community that had fed him and given him a place to be. And over the years, that history had been forgotten deliberately and neglected. And so there was a lot of racism that I was dealing with as the only Black person at this conference. It was very stressful. So coming home, it was like, oh my God, if I leave my home, then I have to face a world that is shocked and surprised I exist because I'm a Black girl, but I'm a light-skinned Black girl. And if I come home, I have to deal with years and years and years of undealt with childhood sexual trauma. I'm in an airplane and I'm terrified of heights and I'm in a rock in a hard place. And so I had the panic attack. I was screaming, I was yelling. The cop called me a loudmouth brown B-I-T-C-H. And I got angry. As a Black girl in Canada, being isolated, being alone, not having a support system of other colored girls, I was pissed. So I told him I was going to make it the loudest, most angry brown girl brand in the world. And that is now what I am on the way to do. And I screamed that at him too. I was like, you're going to regret this because this is going to be the biggest brown girl brand. And you are never going to forget how you treated me. And no one is ever going to trust you because they are going to know you're the cop that treated me this way. And you don't know who I am now, but you will one day. And here we go 5 years in January. And I'm making strides to that becoming a reality.
Now, where is home?
Home is British Columbia. It's where I live. I was born in Calgary. And we Canadians joke that Canada is the Texas of Calgary. It's very rural. A lot of oil people, a lot of like the oil industry is kind of the main industry out there. So it's very comparable to Texas in terms of ideology, and it's very religious, religious based, and lots of different sects of culture and race and creeds and nationalities.
Now, you know, people in the United States usually have a tendency to believe that when it comes to racial issues, that Canada is quite a bit different than the United States. So enlighten me.
There is this lie that parents tell their kids in Canada, right? Eat your dinner because there are kids in Africa who are starving. Or if you travel anywhere in the world and you have a Canadian flag, people will trust you more because you're not American. And we tell ourselves these lies because we want to believe that we are the best, right? America is the best country in the world if you want to follow the American dream and make money, but Canada is the nicest country. And I think that that's bullcrap. I think it's junk. I think that this idea that Canada is somehow filled with like nice, happy people. We have poverty, we have hunger, we have drug addiction, we have childhood abuse, we have trauma, we have like 350 years of Indigenous children being taken from their homes and their lives destroyed and decimated by racism. No, it ain't easier out here. The perception is that it's easier because that's what you see. You see Degrassi and you think, oh my God, life in Canada is like so easy. No, man.
I love Degrassi. Are you going to bust my Degrassi bubble?
Degrassi growing up was my thing. Okay. I met the original cast of the original show and I got to hug Joey Jeremiah and it was the best day of my life.
Drake was on Degrassi too now.
I don't care about Drake. No. I will say though that in the later years of Degrassi, what you saw in those storylines was a lot closer to what kids today are dealing with.
Well, they got more graphic at the end. I remember that. Yes. They did explore other, including race. They explored a whole lot of stuff on Degrassi eventually.
Well, they had Drake's character got shot. They had teen pregnancy. Like in the 1980s, there was no show talking about teen pregnancy, LGBTQ. Beverly Hills 90210 and the other one with Heather Locklear, I can't remember the name of it, Melrose Place. Those shows were based on Degrassi, right? So if you're looking at a show like Degrassi and you're thinking, oh, Canada's life is so idealized, you're not listening to the messages that we're trying to show you. And the creators of that show, they worked really hard for like 30 to 40 years to make sure that people understand we're not doing this because it's an entertaining thing. We want to show teenagers getting shot or having babies. We're doing it because that's what's happening in Canada.
In Canada as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about your writing now. You went ahead and you formed this, your own writing domain, if you will, where people write for you, do your own writings, et cetera. How did you go about doing that? What made you want to go ahead and keep it going? Because everybody says when they're pissed off, you're going to hear about me. But you continued to do it. And not only that, you wanted to empower others to do it. Explain.
Easy. You podcasters just ask like the easiest questions. I think about this a lot and I talked about it on Sunday, but it's when depending on how the question is framed, the answer is always a little bit different. I think one of the reasons that I wanted to keep it going is because Loudmouth Brown Girl is like a really marketable brand. You hear that and you think that's sexy, right? Like you think empowered women, you think white women, Chinese women, Jewish women, Black women, brown. To me, I am brown skinned, right? But in woke, there are women that are Chinese, there are women that are Portuguese, there are women that are Jewish, there are women from all over the world, Palestine, Jerusalem. And so for me, the word brown is subjective because brown is a mixture of different colors. It's a mixture of different things. And when I thought about it in year two, it was like, okay, I can continue being pissed off, but I kind of like, I'm over it. Like it happened, it sucked, and I dealt with it. What could I do with this that would be really cool? And okay, I realized like, I'm not really like
I'm not going to let you continue since I asked such easy question. I'm going to make this one difficult for you. Now that you have gone on to that, what did you learn? What did you learn from that experience to promote to others to make them want to grow into the type of writing that you know we need to have out there?
Well, again, I like making money, right? That's mm-hmm. fun for me. But when I'm able to combine my writing with like, oh, cool, I just got paid for a speaking engagement. It's not the money part of it. It's the feeling like I just got paid to do what I love to do. That's so cool. And that was the one thing, like my grandpa was a jerk, but that was the one thing that he always said, find something you love and then find a way to make money at it. And
repeat that. I'm sorry. You have got to repeat that because a lot of people need to hear that because that is so right. This is your interview, so I won't tell my personal story. But you go ahead and repeat that, please.
Find something you love and then find a way to make money at it. Do it first, right? Like when I did Loudmouth Brown Girl the first year, I didn't make any money. I wasn't focused on making money. I was focused on telling my story. But the second year, it was like, what could I do with this? What could I create? Well, I always wanted to be a fashion designer. Like I have visions of women, big, beautiful, sexy, gorgeous women and men for that matter, in all colors, all sizes, wearing my hoodies and a pair of sexy panties. That is my fashion show dream. So what do? I go and I start creating images to put on t-shirts and hoodies in the prospect that one day I will have a show that will make Brianna's last show, which was amazing, look like a piece of cake. Like I have dreams and I want to make those dreams come true. And by doing something that I love and focusing on the fact that I love doing it, I love talking about racism. I love putting white people in their place. I love saying, yo, you have to listen to me because I've earned the right to share my voice. I love doing all of that. Because then I can go and I can do the fashion design stuff. I can play with my cats. I can walk. Am I broke? Hell yes. I am completely broke. But I'm happy. And I've never been happy before.
And your entire income now comes from Loudmouth Brown Girl.
I'm actually on disability. I'm one of those people that falls on the side of the spectrum that like abuse affected me so badly that for me to go get a job where I have to be with other people every day in the middle of a pandemic is not emotionally and mentally feasible for me.
You have a country that, as bad as you may put, Canada has a healthcare system that is humane. and takes into account the different possibilities that people may have.
Here's the thing, though. I get money for my rent, right? And I get money for my medications and my food and my groceries, but I don't get access to therapy. Not like the kind of therapy that somebody like me needs, right? There's one organization in my province that deals with people who have been sexually tortured, and they only deal with refugees because Canada doesn't think that that stuff happens here to Canadians. So it's catch 22, right? I get some things for free, but other things I have to work a lot harder to find access to.
Well, you know, again, like I said, there are certain benefits that you have in Canada that Americans don't, first of all, don't know it's afforded and that they yearn for. And now, but I imagine in the long run, the intent is that Loudmouth Brown Girl, given that you'll be able to do that localized, that will eventually get you to be a completely independent person and bringing other people on.
That's the hope. That's the hope, because I want Loudmouth Brown Girl to be an umbrella company. I want to have the fashion side, right? But I also want to be able to provide services like therapy and medical help for people like me who don't have access to what they need. I know what I am missing in my life. And if I can take Loudmouth Brown Girl to the place where I can provide what I'm missing out on for other people, that's when I know that it has been a success.
Isn't that something that people used to call paying it forward?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I mean, there's something that I
had a lot of people help me in my last 4 years. I did not do this alone.
I understand. So, and that's one of the things that I wanted to mention. A lot of people think that those people that are, quote unquote, on the dole are useless, as opposed to seeing it's a building block that they will eventually use to get ahead and then pay it forward. A lot of folks don't quite get it. And I mean, if we could teach humanity to more, people would see nobody wants to be on the dole, do they?
It's not fun, man. Like, I would much rather be like, yo, I got 20 grand in my bank account, I'm going shopping, instead of like, I got $8 in my bank account, I'm buying ramen for like the next 20 days. Right. We had a gentleman who was an MLA in our local community. He lived on welfare for 30 days. You call it welfare, we call it social assistance. But the program was called MLA on welfare for 30 days. And I think if you Google it, you can find his blog of his journey. But he stayed in homeless shelters. He ate soup. He was only allowed to eat what was given to him at the shelter, and he was only allowed to carry with him what he could carry, which is what he got from the shelters. And at the end of it, he turned around and he said, that's not enough money. That's not enough money. Between rent and food, there was nothing else. There was nothing. So he couldn't go out and have dinner. He couldn't go to a movie. He couldn't do any of these things that normal people do to break up steam and to break up the day and the monotony of trying to just survive, right? And yet still, people like me, like, once I pay my bills, which I'm lucky that my bills are about $300 a month, but once I pay those, I've only got a couple hundred dollars left, and that money has to go to groceries. It has to go to my cannabis, which helps me stay sane, and then my cats, and then that's it. Like, there's nothing extra. There's no fancy shoes. There's no parties. There's no, like, popping champagne bottles at the strip club. That doesn't happen when you're on disability. And so this image that we have of people living on disability or living on welfare or social assistance, having these big grand parties and hanging out at hotel rooms, that does not happen.
Well, I mean, the goal is really to stereotype something, to give good people that would otherwise help people at their hardest time feel that it isn't worth helping them. That's the whole idea.
That is it, exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is like what you said earlier, like, it can be, being on disability can be a building block to a better future. J.K. Rowling did it. She was on welfare, and she's a freaking billionaire now, right?
It's possible, but
you have to have a support system. And if you're homeless and you're addicted to drugs, you don't have a support system.
That is why it is important for us to get writers of every flavor. And one of the reasons I'm trying to, with this, just joining this group Woke, I'm hoping to get a lot of different voices, the opportunity to put their voice out there as well, is that hearing these different voices, hearing these different points of view, I think kind of help people. Like I said, if you sell something as somebody like people living on the dole, it doesn't sell well. If you look at it as giving somebody a hand when they need it, who will eventually pay it forward, then I think it makes a lot of sense. And if you listen to your words, if you listen to what you want to do, that's exactly what you want to do, pay it forward. Okay, let's get busy as far to close this out with specifically. What would you tell an up-and-coming writer, an up-and-coming activist? I call writers are also activists. I consider you an activist because of you empower others to empower themselves, no
I'm
matter
trying.
The So what would you tell a person who's just starting out? I want to do something.
Do something then. Do something, right? When I started the website, I had no marketing budget. I did not have the .com. I actually went without cannabis and without a bunch of other stuff, like food, for a month so that I could afford to pay for the .com for the year, right? So like I have sacrificed for this website. I made 1,000 love letters by hand, and I can show you. I have a bunch here.
Right.
Okay. The original love letters were in really pretty paper. They had butterflies and stickers, and they were all blinged out. These ones are really simple, and they just have, they have the original logo and the butterfly. And I went to parties. I went to celebrations. I went to parades. I handed out my love letters, and I said, check my website. And when people got a love letter, I want to read you, I'm going to pick a random one and I'm going to read it to you so you understand what it meant to get a love letter from the Loudmouth Brown Girl, okay? So this is a random letter that has not been given out. Thank you for being the kind of person who stands up for others. The fact that you're reading this letter means that you needed to know your hard work has been noticed. You matter to me. Love, Devin J. Hall. Here's another one. We are fighting for the future you have planned. Don't give up. You are a star in the making. Every time it hurts, remember that it's all going to be worth it. So one of them even said, go smoke a joint. And the woman that opened the letter, that's all it said. She looked at it. She started howling. She still follows me. She says, you know me, like, you know me. And so all of these letters were written with the intention of promoting my website. But it was also stuff like that I wanted to hear that I had never heard from people before, right? These are all letters that were written to myself, to my inner child, that I threw out into the world in hopes that people would come to the site and see what I am doing. If you want to do something, do it. Just now, figure out what it is you want to do that only you can. A million people could go write love letters, and that would be amazing. You should all go do that. But only one person can write the love letters that I would write.
Absolutely. So, well, Devin, there is last question I ask every one of the people that I interview, and it goes as follows. What would you have liked me to ask you that I didn't?
Oh, that's a good question. I would like to see you talk more about cannabis on your show. Well, I really would. We're talking politics, we're talking racism, we're talking mental health, and I think that cannabis and things like psilocybin, certain specific medications are out there and they're not being educated about enough. And I could introduce you to a whole bunch of educators that'll take you through the science and that'll show you all the things. And I think that it's an important thing that we talk about because the 2020s have been rough, y'all. 2010 was kind of like a little bit bumpy, but 2020s have been rough and we need something. And I don't think that alcohol is going to get us through the next decade. I think we need to start exploring more natural, more earth-based medications to help provide us with that little bit of boost. And so that's what I'd like to see you discuss more. I'd like to see a little bit more, mental health aid.
Well, look, I tell all my listeners, this show belongs to everyone that listens to the show. We have thousands of listeners. We have several hundred supporters. and it all belongs to everybody. So if you would like a subject covered, produce a show, and we'll absolutely do it. I'm here with Devin J. Hall, founder of Loudmouth Brown Girl. It's been my pleasure to have you, and thank you for the uplifting voice that you carry on your site. Thank you for the uplifting voice that you carry around in the different organizations that you're a member of, and you stay strong.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Loudmouth Brown Girl, aka or Devin J. Hall, aka Brown Mouth Loud Girl. I really enjoyed talking to her. By the way, you know why I so love my peeps? Because you always remind me. Oh, look at what Daniel had to say. Egberta scraping the bottom four of the guest barrel on this one. She's a hot mess. No, she isn't. She is a member of our earth. She's a Canadian. And let me tell you something. I speak to everybody. Everybody has equal access to success, equal access to be featured. I don't consider that rich person, that billionaire, Bill Gates, or anybody any better than the poorest person I know. And you know, it is interesting because none of that turns me on. You know what turns me on when I talk to my peeps here, right here on PDR, Politics Done Right? I have more faith, energy in all of you guys, including you, Daniel Ledeau, than I have on those big wheels that are just empty suits sucking the blood from the average American or citizen of the world. You see, we have learned to cherish all the wrong things. I cherish that which is closest to me. Do you think I feel any great respect for those great senators and presidents and all of that of countries? Niet. If I'm next to them, do you think I have some feeling inside of me that says, oh, I've become because I'm rubbing shoulders with them? Hell no. If I'm rubbing shoulders with a guy, a vagabond on the street, that somehow gives me a good word, that person means so much more to me than you would understand. And by the way, I don't want to say that I was always this way at all. I've become this way after I've understood what it is to be a real human. Okay? Just thought I'd let you know that. But anyhow, thank you, Breach MCP, for reminding me to go propose to start asking folks to support the show. I love you, girl. Anyhow, folks, please, if you are on YouTube, click that join button. Please become a part of the PDR posse. That is how we can promote the good word. That is how we can get the progressive message out. We don't only do this show. We also do the show on KPFT 90.1 FM. In fact, on Thursdays and Fridays, we do two shows. One on air, KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. And also, of course, live on the live stream. But folks, so go ahead, click that join button, become a part of our PDR posse. If you don't see a join button, or if you're on some other platform, go to politicsdoneright.com/YouTube, politicsdoneright.com/YouTube. Please become a part of the family. Alternatively, you can join the family by going to politicsdoneright.com/patron. Patron is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N, politicsdoneright.com/patron. You can also support us by the good old PayPal. Actually, the best bang for the buck is through PayPal because they only take, I think, 4%. The others take a bigger chunk, but you know what? It all matters. Everybody gets their fair thing. politicsdoneright.com/PayPal. There is the link on the screen. But consider getting my books. Consider getting my books. I guarantee you will learn quite a bit from the books. Remember, go ahead and go to politicsandright.com/books. Get, as I see it, class warfare, the only resort to right-wing doom. Learn everything there is about the economy in a way that you understand. And the book that followed that was called It's Worth It, How to Talk to Your Right-Wing Relative, Friends, and Neighbors. Because, you know, right-wingers aren't my enemies. They may think that they are my enemies. I will never consider them an enemy. I consider all of us in the same boat, and I won't allow the plutocracy to win by making Daniel Ledeau and Eric Hayes or any one of my right-wing brothers my enemies. They'll never be. Sorry, they'll never be. Because that, if we ever do that, they win. The plutocracy win. Remember, we're just wards of the plutocracy. And the last book that I just got through writing earlier the year, called How to Make America Utopia, How to Take Away the Economy from Those Who Rigged It. And I tell you, there's a lot of info in all of that. Please consider getting it. Go to politicsandright.com/books, politicsandright.com/books. And if you can find all of the ways to support us, go to politicsandright.com/support. And look, Bridge MCP, one of our PDR leaders, PDR Posse leaders, she designed a cup. And unfortunately, I'm here and I hadn't set that up yet. You know, there's a whole lot to do. You know, I'm here in D.C. taking care of my daughter right now who's had a stroke. So I don't have all the time to really get everything working as it was in the studio in Houston. But you can get the cup. Here is the cup for our... Oops, I just lost it. There is the cup. Bridge MCP designed a cup. And I don't have it with me right now, but that's the link to go ahead and get the cup. Why not get the cup? Give it to one of your friends for Christmas. Actually, I'm going to send out a newsletter pretty soon with suggestions to go ahead and give gifts with the PDR, Politics and Right logo, to your friends. And by doing that, you're also supporting the show. You're also supporting, and you're not only supporting this show, you're supporting all the blogs that we write at egbertowillis.com, at politicsandright.com, all the podcasts that we do at Spotify, iTunes, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spry, and all these other places. It's all there, and that's what you're supporting. And again, you can go ahead and get our books at politicsandright.com/books. Okay, enough of that. Thank you, Bridge, for reminding me to do this. And thank you very much. What is it again? Loudmouth. What is that? I forgot who. Devon, that's her name. I just couldn't remember the jeroglifico. Okay, so folks, listen. I have another video for you. Last night, you know the Republican Party needs a lot of help. And for my Republicans in the House right now, I want you to listen to this good Republican speaking. He's a good guy. I don't believe in the policies he believes in, but I respect him. I have a lot of Republican friends that we argue policy, and they believe what they believe. I believe what I believe. And the truth of the matter is much of what the reason we can get along is we realize that the areas we disbelieve in are the gray areas. As an example, I believe in an all-inclusive government that really takes care of people. Some believe in this individualistic nature. If we want a country that is individualistic, we have to pay the price for that. And if we want to have a country that is more inclusive, we pay the price for that. I think the more humane country is that which a government takes care of people. All right, you know, Bridge MCP put the mug out there for Bridge girl. I love you. Here is the mug. Bridge MCP puts it out there. And I'm going to put it on the screen for all to see. Let's blow that up a little bit. All right, folks. This was the mug designed by one of our own. In other words, Bridge MCP told me, Egberto, you need to have a mug. And I said, yes. Wait, about the PDR Posse. And I said, yes, my dear. Design it. And she said, okay. And in a few days, Bridge brought this back to us. And I want to talk a little bit about this mug, why I think you should go out there and get it. I'm going to put the link again on it. Notice what it says. Join the PDR Posse, politicsandright.com/YouTube, all that good stuff that's there. But she gives the essence of what we believe in here. Notice we don't excommunicate. We don't ban our right-wingers or our Republicans or the people that don't agree with us. And you know why? Notice what she wrote on that thing, because that is what we represent. Chat, discuss, learn. Left, right. Progressive, conservative. We the people. No matter what, it is we the people. The plutocracy wants us to be divided because divide and conquer is actually very effective. Very effective. So Bridge MCP, give a big hand to Bridge MCP because she is the designer of this cup. And if you want to go ahead and get that cup, thank you, Bridge, always, as usual. Let's go ahead and put that on el screen, en la pantalla. I forgot what screen was in Spanish for a while. Shame on me, isn't it? All right. Anyway, I want you guys, and this one here specifically for my right wing and conservative and Republican brothers and sisters that are on right now. Let's go ahead and listen to this particular brother from the other side. Republican operative Stuart Michael really let the GOP have it. You have to see this to understand exactly what is happening in the Republican Party. He is one who really hit all the nails on the head. Check this out, and then we'll go ahead and take it on the other side. This one, or this takedown, is necessary, but more importantly, this takedown is on point, and it's not meant to be difficult. It just lays it out as it is. Check this out.
What all of this after the election was about is evil.
Yeah, and that's such a good point about the Muslim ban, because that was really, to me, that was the moment of that campaign where we had entered into a new world. It was just obviously the case that if you replace Muslim with another religious group, if you said, if a candidate for America, president gets up and gets, not a single Jew should set foot in this country. Obviously, despicable measure and completely disqualifying from all public life. And Trump says it with Muslims, and it's not disqualifying. And so the die was cast then. But the straddling is the thing that Kevin McCarthy's trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, this isn't unusual. How often have we seen people be silent in the face of evil, particularly ambitious politicians who think that they can manage this? I mean, this is 1930s Germany. Yeah, you know, South Africa had truth and reconciliation. Some of these people in the Republican Party want to have reconciliation without truth. It doesn't work. You have to call this out. You have to say, I will not be part of a party that mocks other religions, that is a fundamentally anti-constitutional effort to put an autocracy in America. You just can't do it. And this is why I say that you have to burn the party to the ground. You have to start over. There's not a conservative philosophy here. Nobody in America can tell you what the Republican Party stands for in any conservative sense. There's no logic there. There's no coherent form of government or theory of government, which is why they don't really participate in governing.
Yeah.
They're just in the business of electing Democrats, which is what a cartel is, really, not a political party.
You occasionally watch different politicians try to come up with some sort of, like, for lack of a better word, third way, right? So there are folks like yourself, there are Kinzinger and Cheney, there are people who I would call sort of like never Trumpers who are sort of consider themselves Republicans or conservatives who are opposed to Trump. I think you've left the party and Cheney and Kinzinger haven't. And then there's the attempts by Christie and Nancy Mace to find some sort of middle ground or something that's Trump adjacent, but critical in certain ways. And it just strikes me that even if there was a market for it among the voters of the general population, within the party itself, there's just no demand for that, essentially.
No, the party is a Donald Trump party. This is sometimes I think that we make the mistake of looking at the Republican Party and saying, how did they go wrong here? How did they, you know, take this wrong turn or something? How did they get hijacked? None of that happened. This is what the Republican Party wants to be. This is why I was really forced when I confronted this myself, which was not a pleasant experience, to call this book I wrote, It Was All a Lie. Because I don't know any other way to reconcile this. You don't abandon deeply held beliefs in a few years. It just means you didn't deeply hold them. You can't say that we're just going to ignore the past. It never works.
That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. This idea that, like, my proposal is not to talk about the central defining questions facing the party in American democracy and focus on, you know, we don't like inflation or Joe Biden, is like, that's not going to cut it, buddy.
It's not the world that we live in. Yeah, it's a world that I'd like to live in, I think. I'd like to have two parties that had opposing philosophies of government so we could get back to talking about these differences. But that's not what we have now. We have one party that is for democracy and we have one party that's for autocracy. And all the rest is just noise. All these ads that we made about capital gains tax and health care, none of that matters.
No.
The central truth is American democracy going to survive?
That is prescient. One, can American democracy survive if the Republican Party, the party who wants to be who they are today, takes over? And that is the real question. And that is the work we have ahead of us. We cannot allow the fallacies. We cannot allow what these guys purport to portray become a reality. The truth is, Stuart Stevens hits the nail on the head. One, the party has to be burned to the ground. And that is figuratively, of course. But two, It has always been, as he wrote in his book, the policies that this particular party supports, it was always a lie. Now, he believes in the conservative issues. Stevens does. Don't dare not believe that. He believes in the true tenets of conservatism. Most of us knew it was never practical. But what he realizes now is everything the Republican Party claimed it was nothing but a lie. It was absolutely nothing but a lie. All right, I had the Supreme Court is something that I wanted to talk about. It's funny because I'm here in D.C. The rallies are out there in the streets, and I haven't gone yet. What I told my daughter is as she improves, she's going to be our wing person. She's going to be out there with us going into those some of those rallies as time allows her and as her strength allows her to get out of the House summer. We're going to do a little bit of that type of journey in D.C. So I mean, the rallies are on here at the Supreme Court. It seems that Roe versus Wade is gonna be pretty damn dead pretty soon. It seems like women are no longer gonna be in control of their bodies in red states, because we know already what's gonna happen. All the blue states will protect a woman's right to choose. If you live in New York, if you live in California, if you live in Washington State, if you live even in Oregon, you're okay. Women will have rights there. But, let me tell you, if you guys are living in one of these red states, holla, because let me tell you what it means. Women have lost a major right. Hey guys, my daughter has started doing some writing. I want you to check out, give her a little love at her Amazon Kindle Vella stories. Check it out. I just put the link on the screen right now. Shameless plug. Well, you know, if a daddy has a platform, isn't a shameless plug something that you want to do, even especially given situations? Anyhow, folks, so Nanette Bird says Team Ashley Strong. I didn't see that one, Nanette. Let's see what else am I missing here. I missed a lot of news. Let me scroll up here and start seeing. Talk about personal freedom and then impinge on everyone. Exactly right. The duck that quack says the Republican wants to tell folks who to love, how, when to have a child, what to smoke. Oh, I saw somebody else there said, brother, I think it was Carl. Carl, I think I disagree with you. You said, yes for marijuana for health reasons, no for marijuana for recreation. Oh, please, Nanette Bird Smith says, please tell Ashley I have thoroughly enjoyed her Vella episodes. Thank you, Nanette Bird Smith. And she writes them, and, you know, let me tell you, I enjoy them too. When I read her stuff, it really gives me, it actually makes me pretty proud because of how well she writes. About Carl Cox, let me tell you this. I hear you about, and I think I know the genesis of your belief, okay, marijuana for medical reasons, but not recreation. In my olden days, that's how I thought. Until I really learned about alcohol, until I really learned about pharmaceutical companies and all these, the way our controlled substances system work. I don't smoke marijuana and I don't drink. Rose says, go Ashley. I don't smoke marijuana and I don't drink. Okay? So meaning I don't do alcohol. Look, I'll take a taste of beer to be social if a friend comes over or something. But in general, I don't drink alcohol and I don't smoke marijuana. Do I have anything against anybody that does any one of those things? Absolutely not. And let me explain. I don't see how I could be honest with myself if I tell somebody it's okay to control your mood with alcohol, but it's not okay to control your mood with marijuana. Somehow, marijuana is this thing that does all this damage. When all the studies say that alcohol destroys your liver and does all these things if you take it outside of moderation, And likewise, if you take marijuana outside of moderation, you get schizo and all that kind of stuff. They all have their bad benefits. So I cannot, in good sense, in what I learned, and notice what I've said, in the olden days, I was completely against things like smoking dope or doing this or doing that. No longer. I am starting to think we have been too controlled in the way to think to make quite a few people a lot of money, right? The pharmaceuticals have been doping people up in Appalachia and everywhere else. But you get a few people with a few grams of marijuana and they go to life or jail. The Sackler families are somehow profiting from doping people up. So that's my contention about that. Anyhow, let me see if I have any more things to do. Let me go from the bottom up. Eric Hayes, I'm not going to read anything from Eric Hayes right now. Eric, I'll talk to you tomorrow when you come, brother. Peggy Lopez says, glad to see Ashley can get to some rallies. The body's in the crowd. Not yet. That's the reason we didn't go today. She's not ready yet. She still has a ways to go before that. Started taking my kids to political gatherings when they were kids. Have fun. We will when she's ready. Let's see what else we got here. Linda Jo Kissinger says, today's Republican Party has no policies. It is all about following Trump, cancel culture, etc. You notice. Daniel Adol says, the Scottish should send abortion to the states to decide. Well, it seems like your wish is going to come true, Daniel. So it looks like in all the red states, we'll have women without rights. So without rights to their own bodies. The government is going to be able to tell them what they can do with their bodies. I hope you enjoy that. Let's see what else. Courtney, the SLP, how you doing, my dear lady? Bubir's mother has posted a racist video as well. You know, the truth of the matter, I'm going to tell you the truth, Courtney. For me, this is just sports, watching these videos or whatever. But I really don't give a flying, you know what, about these videos. Do as you please. Racists don't bother me. Only racists with power bothers me. But folks, I want to call me N-words or call me all the bad names that all my ethnicities attributes me to. I don't care. It has zero effect on me. But if you're going to mess with people's access to success, then that matters. Folks, I got to get out of here. Carl Cox, I disagree with you about pot. I respect your opinion. And I respect yours as well, Carl Cox. You know, that's what we're all about here. But yeah, I think if you my own opinion is, if you support drinking alcohol, you should be supporting legalization of pot. That's just my opinion, but you can feel differently and let America decide, you know? Courtney, the SLP, says, I feel the same about racism, Egberto. You got that right, girl. Eric Hayes says, maybe some people here don't want to hear you now, Egberto. Well, you know, that's why it's a free country. If they don't want to hear me, they don't, right? Isn't that true? If you don't want to hear me, there's nothing holding you here, right, Brother Eric? But you're here. And I appreciate you being here. Bruce says, video leads audio on Facebook. The Duck That Quacks, $10 support for the program. He says, first one quarter 2022 support EW. Great programming. Make USA electric right at home. Then drive on till 120,000 plus kilowatt hours. USA homebrew made and 80,000 electric miles under the rubber. Happy holidays. You the man, the Duck That Quacks. By the way, thank you so kindly for that super chat for $10, brother, the Duck That Quacks. Devon Hall says, thank you everyone for tuning in, for sharing this show with your friends and family. Thank you for being kind enough to hear my story and celebrate being your true self. I love you, from Devon. Rose says, this is his show after all. I beg to differ, Rose. When I tell you guys this is our show, I want you all to take it to the bank. And if you doubt it, see how many shows were created by you all. See the things that you guys brought into the fold. It is our show. I am just the host, but it's our show. I want you to get that in everybody's head. Let's see. Hey, Bree Sarabish, welcome aboard. May Wood says, can leave. Yeah, but he'll be back. I love Eric. Eric knows that Eric just want to give us hell. That's all. Tom C says, words matter. Racist language can lead to violent action. Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying personally, doesn't bother me. Let's see. I let's see, how is pot any more toxic than this shameful Marxism? Oh boy, Daniel won't give up. I'm about 3 minutes over and I got to get out of here. Thank you guys for being here with me. I love you all. And we're going to get the hell out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right. And you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out! We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please. Join.